Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Championship heads to Philadelphia's Arana Mink Golf Club for the first time since 1962.
The emotion-packed drama was never greater as players studies the contour of the green.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson.
Gary Player becomes the first resident of a foreign country ever to win the PGA. For doing it, he receives the Rodman Wanamaker Trophy.
And Brandon Sprague.
And the biggest PGA check ever, $13,000.
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan. 1080 AM, The Odyssey app. Live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. You guys like doing the twist? You guys twist fans? Do you think you would have been into the twist back in the day when that song came out?
Probably. I learned the Soulja Boy Superman song.
The version of our...
Which is funny.
That was their Soulja Boy?
Yeah, that
and
was
you
theirs.
Superman that...
My daughter just learned how to do that dance.
The Soulja Boy or the twist?
The Superman.
Superman.
Yeah, now it's okay. Does she do it very
well? Now, are all
well?
The words no. said in the song? All the...
She doesn't sing with it.
Oh, she just
knows
does
the
it.
Song, which yeah. she's mainly just trying to focus on the dance moves.
What was bigger, the Superman or the Dougie?
Well, the Superman, because you can make
you
a
kind of crank
very...
the motorcycle, right? Isn't that the Superman? You're doing like a... Is that how it goes? Isn't that a part of it? Am I thinking of a different dance? No,
what?
Yeah? No?
What were the hands doing?
You're doing
there,
like right? the hands? Give What's me a this? Hey, hey. Give me a ho, ho. Give me one of those.
You should have been dancing with Jimmy Stewart in 1941.
I think we've learned here, if anybody's going to do the twist on the show, it would be me.
You should have been at a sock hop is what you should have been doing.
I'll go to the Sadie Hawkins dance. I'll go do that.
I would argue... I don't even think it's an argument.
So I probably remember when the song came out.
Make the point that Soulja Boy changed everything.
Like, yeah.
That he doesn't get enough credit.
Soulja Boy changed everything?
Did you do ringtones before him?
I did.
Nobody did.
Oh,
he literally created it.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
You're very offensive about this. Well, Soulja Boy.
I don't know how you don't remember that.
I don't remember that at all.
He kind of created the...
He was the first person to ever sell a ringtone. Nobody had ever sold a ringtone before.
He's the ringtone king.
I mean, I'll take
it. He capitalized financially.
I'll take your word for it. Nobody else had him before him?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't remember what my first ringtone was.
Exactly. I didn't even have a phone in 2007.
Yeah.
So I just, and he also changed the way the internet operated.
How did he do that?
Well, he made everything was documented. He was doing videos. He
oh,
was like,
okay.
You know,
I'm not up on my Soulja Boy facts here. I didn't.
You were 18 when he was out. It's kind of.
I mean,
shocking.
I remember the song. I didn't watch Soulja Boy documentaries. I think you and
People
I
weren't doing Soulja Boy documentaries.
Well, then what was he filming?
Himself.
So he was filming and making a documentary, essentially.
If you want to call
if you're
it,
documenting
that, he was kind of
your
an influencer.
Life,
he was an influencer before we knew what influencers were.
I did not watch any Soulja Boy content. Yeah, right. I can name you one Soulja Boy fact, and that is Soulja Boy.
His name?
Superman, that.
Yeah, that.
Oh. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I got nothing here.
All right, man. I'm sorry. We grew up different Portlands.
We did grow up very different Portlands.
Very different Portlands.
I would have done the twist.
Yeah, there
Swag you go. Was a chubby checker guy back in the day.
Chubby checker.
Yep. Another one of Philadelphia's finest.
Whatever you got to do, man.
And I want to look up, did Soulja Boy invent ringtones? No, Soulja Boy did not invent ringtones.
In terms of selling them, he did.
He is considered a pioneer of the ringtone rap era, breaking records with the 2007 Crank That.
Yep.
He said he made $20 million selling ringtones. That's wild, dude. Absolutely wild. Can you name other Soulja Boy songs?
He's got the one with the... That, like the 143, baby, I just want to kiss you.
That doesn't ring any bells for me.
Well, you don't, yeah. You only
I was
know
a Tech
name.
9 guy. I listened to Tech 9 in high
sure,
school.
Sure, I like Tech 9.
Bone Thugs and Harmony. I listened
yeah,
to Bone
I like
Thugs,
Bone
and,
Thugs
Harmony.
And Harmony.
Did
yeah.
a little bit of that.
Outkast. Yeah, we can keep naming rappers. I didn't buy Soulja Boy songs. I
think
was
you
just
did. I think you did.
Telling you some
Boy
fun
guy.
Facts about Soulja Boy.
You got a Superman tattoo?
I do not.
You
no.
got Superman? No.
I am not Shaquille O'Neal. Or
am
Dwight
I correct Howard. On the? There's a motorcycle involved in that dance. Was I correct in that part?
A little
part?
Bit. Yeah.
Doesn't he crank the motorcycle?
He's not cranking it like as hard as you're cranking it.
You got to give one of those.
The
to get
arm,
going?
The hand thing you were doing there was a little bizarre.
Isn't that one of those? You do one of these. Yeah. One of those. Shoot to the. You know.
Yeah.
Some of that. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. We can move on from rap music
like,
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
A couple of pieces of housekeeping.
Yeah.
Before we get to an association segment in a moment, I did enjoy this. There was a quote about a rookie quarterback. Drew Aller is at rookie minicamp for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They took him much sooner than anybody thought he would go in the draft.
Yep.
And they asked Mike McCarthy how that process is going. And his quote was, "We are uninstalling everything that he learned at Penn State."
Well, how many quarterbacks does this work with, though? What do you think Taylen Green thought when he got Todd Monken's playbook?
How do you feel if you're a coach of his in college? Like, dude, what?
I don't think you can uninstall everything. Be offended by it.
Everything's getting uninstalled.
Well, what are you offended by?
We didn't teach him one thing that worked. There's not one footwork move that we gave him.
Well, I don't think they're like, hey, come on in here, Drew, and let's reteach you footwork on every level.
That's kind of what they're saying. He was doing new drills because they didn't go under center very often, which is a problem in a lot of college offenses.
That happens in the NFL, too. Penix doesn't do under center stuff.
No, you got to do a lot of under center. And some guys can get it, some guys can't. So that's part of it. The level of honesty was kind of funny of like, we're uninstalling everything that he learned in college.
Well, who was it? It wasn't Baker, was it? Where they came in and they basically, I don't think it was Baker. It was somebody else. Where they acknowledged they didn't understand like nickel defenses and two deeps and stuff.
Yeah,
I
couldn't read anything.
He was basically admitting they just ran plays. They just called plays and then did it. He didn't understand coverages, disguised coverages.
Just run and throw to the route that you got there, okay?
I think you get this
a lot. That's all
we're
going to do here.
I think you get a lot of college quarterbacks to come in nowhere near ready to be what it takes to be an NFL quarterback.
No, especially a guy like that who clearly is very raw around the edges and needs a lot of work. Just uninstall it. Somebody had it was Nate Tice, I think, had the joke. He was like, yeah, that's how you work. You take out the cartridge, you blow on it, you plug it back in.
They're
trying that with Drew Aller,
I'm assuming you, me, and everybody else, we have pretty big respect for Jeff Tedford.
Yeah, of course.
You see Aaron Rodgers throwing motion at Cal versus what it's been in as a pro?
It's changed a little bit, man.
So, like, that's not to say Tedford wasn't coaching him right. It's just that, like, the NFL, even for the smartest guys, it's such a crazy change.
Yeah, you evolve a little
of
bit.
Of pace and mental game and study habits and the coaching element. Guess what NFL coaches don't largely have to do week to week? They don't have to recruit. College coaches every week either doing it shady and on the low, or they're having to go out and travel and do it.
Never stops.
So the attention to detail is always going to be a drastic difference there. So it is funny to point out Penn State season being all-time catastrophic. And
whatever you're doing there, change all of it.
You know what you did? Don't do any of that again.
Change everything, every single aspect of it. I also saw this quick, and then we'll get to the Blazers here in a moment.
You got a Blazer segment?
I do. There was an update on a search. There was a new name thrown into the mix. So I'll just see if we have any ideas on that.
Okay.
Aronimic practice rounds are going on today, again, before the PGA Championship starts. For those wondering who our bro Jason Day is wearing today with Malbourne.
Is it Malbon?
Malbon or Malbourne?
I think it's Malbon.
Malbon? I'll take your word for it. Yeah. He is wearing swim trunks.
No, he isn't. It's Malbon.
He's wearing a swimsuit in his practice run.
I mean, it's practice.
At a major championship.
Are you mad about it?
I'm not mad about it. No, I won't yell about this.
Would you wear it?
If you did it at Augusta, I would yell at you. Well, they also wouldn't let you do this, so the rules are a little bit. There's a picture who had it. Yeah, dude, it's like legitimately a pair of green
swim
trunks.
I have a pair of these shorts. I wore them white.
They
just didn't say Malbon.
Is that comfy to play golf in swim trunks? You got, like, what's the compression situation we're talking about underneath?
I'll tell you, he's breathing well, though.
The chafing situation? I don't know. Maybe that's
no
a
chafing.
Fat problem.
You think there's chafing here?
maybe that's a fat
I think he's wearing these because there's no chafing at all.
I mean, hammy's not rubbing together. Your inner thighs aren't grinding in those things.
So we have a tie.
Whenever I wear swimsuits, it's an automatic chafe for me. But that's probably just because I'm a fat man. Yeah.
We have a listener that knows, like, the owner of Malbon. What would you ask him if we ever set the interview up? Like, would you? I mean, you can't. You're talking.
Are you trolling?
What do you mean?
Like, how much of your stuff is done based on, like, I legitimately think this is a cool item that will sell, and how much of your stuff is made based on, I know that this is going to get attention?
Getting us to talk about it?
Yes, because every time he wears something in a tournament, what do we do?
We talk about it.
Now, the swim trunks are different because, I mean, they're good looking swim trunks. Like, you're not wearing those on a golf course.
We don't know if they're actually swim trunks.
They
the
look
way.
Like swim trunks. We're going to take the social media word for it. But that would be my first question, which I'm not even mad about because that's certainly a good marketing strategy to get people to talk about your product. And when you wear something crazy, it will get attentions and eyeballs.
Like, have you ever been to the Melbourne website?
I have not been to the Melbourne website.
If you go to the Melbourne website, and you actually look up the stuff you can go buy. Like, I'm assuming
the
these
website,
are going to be
like,
there.
How does the website look? Is it mostly reasonable things, or are you scrolling and looking and saying, oh my God, why would anybody ever wear that?
Like, first of all, some of the outfits I wouldn't wear.
Yeah.
I have a buddy who golfs. He just got into golfing. He has a jean vest, and he wears it golfing in around. Now, I'm not dabbling in that, but they got some really nice polos. They got some really nice crew necks. I like the M logo. Like, the hats are nice. Like,
yeah, the new logo.
They've got some solid gear if you go to the website versus you're seeing the most. You know what they're doing?
That's why the question would be that.
It's the most outrageous thing we can put him in that he doesn't care about to drive people to the website.
He's a walking advertisement.
Whereas I see Tiger, and I love me some Tiger Woods.
Did you see, by the way, that they put his, I don't think they
had
his arrested one up and it sold out.
Shocking. Welcome to America. Yeah. But, like, he wears stuff, and I go, dude, I love the big cat. I like the logo.
Yeah.
And then I go, and it's like $180 for that shirt. And I'm like, see you later.
Absolutely insane.
Now, Melbourne's not cheap.
No, but it ain't that expensive.
But I just say, like, their actual website has stuff that you could get away with on the course.
That's a good point. I'm scrolling the website right now. The logo is pretty solid. Yeah, it's not, it doesn't look as outrageous when you're just shopping online as opposed to some of the things that he wears at major championships. So I think I know the answer to that question, but I would still ask it nonetheless. And if the answer is yes, it's not a bad decision because it gets people talking about your brand.
Polos for $108 is crazy to me.
Polos are spending now, man. I
just suffer with my shirts not fitting right.
This one's going to be a little tighter, a little
loose. Either way too small or way too big. I think I'm done buying clothes in the golf world, dude. It's crazy.
What
how
you
much
got in your closet is what you got in your closet. We're not changing there. So there's a couple odds and ends. Jason Day wearing swim trunks, and they have unplugged Drew Aller and plugged him back in Pittsburgh, hoping it fixes his technical difficulties.
On the Steeler note, I did see Mike McCarthy was asked about Rodgers and how he has to navigate Rodgers doing the in and out thing because he didn't sign with Pittsburgh over the weekend like we thought he would. And so he was asked, and comping it to the Brett Favre stuff in Green Bay.
He had to deal with it.
And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with it. Like, dealing with a legend, having the next guy. Now, they don't have the next guy yet. Maybe they don't at all.
Per se, yeah.
Because they don't know. But he's at least somebody familiar with dealing with the legend who doesn't want to walk away, or he does want to walk away. And
getting hung out to dry to a certain extent by your quarterback of not knowing what his decision's going to be.
Very difficult, yeah.
Not easy to do. We'll get to Statter's story here in a moment. There has been, I don't know if this is that big of an update, but I'm just curious if the name resonates at all with you and doesn't mean anything. So we're still obviously trying to identify who are the Blazers going to hire as their head coach? Now, they've interviewed a ton of people. The list continues to grow, and every day I feel like there's a new candidate thrown out there of, oh, the Blazers had interest in this guy. How much of it is true? I don't know. Some of them are just like aggregator accounts that are reporting things. But the latest name that I had not seen previously that I saw show up, I can't remember if this was yesterday or over the weekend, was Chris Quinn, who was an assistant
for the Heat.
For the Heat, yes.
He's former Notre Dame legend.
Cited as their coach in waiting in Miami, which is kind of funny because
he ain't going nowhere.
Isn't Spoelstra one of the younger? Maybe he's not younger.
Not anymore, but Spo signed like $120 million
like, deal
a year
dude?
And a half ago.
He's living in Miami.
Also, the coach in waiting, you know who the last coach in waiting was?
Who?
Stan Van Gundy.
In Miami?
Yeah.
Wow.
How'd that go?
He coached somewhere else.
They fired him, and in comes Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, good point. So he's
never want to be the coach in waiting. I think that's the worst thing you can have.
No, and then it creates a weird. We went through this. I think you were out when we talked about it. The Utah, the details came out about what they did to Whittingham and the way those conversations
went. With Morgan
went.
Scalley and Whittingham.
They basically were going to have him be a head coach, but with no authority over recruiting or game planning. And he's like, what are you talking about?
He's like, I earned the right to have all that as long as I'm here. And they're like, well, we want Morgan to start now. And he's like, well, I'll just get out of here then.
All right, I'm going to go coach in Michigan. I'm going to poach our coaching staff. See you later.
How many coaches in waiting happened at Syracuse while Boeheim was pissing his pants on the sidelines.
Texas had this years ago.
Yes. Kansas State, their big battle with Bill Snyder was about coach in waiting stuff.
That's a good point.
You don't want to be the coach in waiting.
Well, do we want to hire their coach in waiting? Do we want heat culture in Portland? Well, do we know anything about Chris Quinn as a coach?
He's pretty respected.
Is he?
Because he's been doing it for so long.
How long has he been around? I never heard the name. I don't remember him at Notre Dame.
You don't remember him at Notre Dame?
I don't.
He was kind of a Jerry McNamara light.
Okay.
Think of him like that. He was like a really good scoring guard player at Notre
Dame.
He
looks younger. He was in the league until 2013.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he would have been.
I think he got right into coaching out of the league.
Yeah, 03 to 07-ish in college. Yeah. Yep. I'm sure if I saw a picture of him in a Notre Dame jersey, I would remember
him. Run-of-the-mill, you know, Notre Dame guy. But he's been there for a hot minute. I'm cool with anybody.
Yeah.
I just
doesn't matter to you.
Well, it's funny because the people that say coaching doesn't matter, now this is a big deal.
Yeah.
So now it matters.
That's definitely out there.
And I'm not saying you should go get JUCO champion here. I'm just like,
if roster building is still the most important thing.
If they get Steve Hetzel, if they get Chris Quinn, if they get Sam Cassell, if they go get another assistant.
What about Jamal Mosley getting thrown out there after getting turfed by Orlando?
I mean, I'm not.
What's the backstory there? Why did they hate him? Because the writing was on the wall with 2 months to go in the regular season that he was going to get fired.
Banchero basically laid it out because they blew a game in the second half and in the post game, and they were slumping at this point. He was like, yeah, I literally watch every team make adjustments, and we don't.
Mm.
He said that out loud at a press conference, and Burb was like, whoop.
That's a pretty honest statement.
I mean, I'm not a big excited about it guy, but I make the roster good. You make the roster good,
yeah,
and maybe Jamal Mosley,
to
some people's points, like, well, Orlando's roster was good, Sprague.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Or maybe it's not. Maybe we think it's good, but it's not. Paolo was a different player in the playoffs than he was in the regular season. I'm not the biggest fan. If you bring in Chris Quinn, you're going to have a lot of who? What?
Huh? Who's this guy?
But kind of a wait and see situation. I don't know. I don't know what to make of all of it. It's right now the Kalamazoo Blazers are just at the forefront of every negative conversation with guys we've never heard of. Now, we don't know if the Nashville Blazers are really what they're going to decide to do.
When we move to Kalamazoo, you got to change the name, right? You got to be the Kalamazoo Kazoos.
No, you need to be the Jeters at that point.
Oh, he's big enough in Kalamazoo to name
he's
an NBA.
He's from Kalamazoo.
I know he's from Kalamazoo.
He was an owner of a sports team once.
Yeah.
But I think the Kalamazoo Kazoos.
Everybody playing kazoos in the stands?
The Kalamazoo. What's the Jeter logo? A gold thong?
A gift basket.
A gift basket.
A gift basket with a gold thong hanging off
the
of
most
it?
Overrated player in baseball history. I ain't naming squad after you, Jeter.
According to Patrick Harris, that's a top 10 baseball player of all time.
Fraudulent.
Don't you know?
Go play for the Oakland A's and nobody knows your name.
Look, the Seattle Super Blazers have their pick of the litter. All right? If these council members don't get the rest together, I don't know who they're going to pick and where they're going to be picking from.
Your candidates now, Sean Sweeney, he's been in the mix. Chris Quinn added to the bunch. Jared Dudley, who we all hated as a player, which would be really funny if he ended up being the head coach of the team.
If we get a Jared Dudley and a Chris Dudley at the same time,
double
in the
Dudley.
Same year.
Yeah, Portland Dudley, Oregon
Dudley.
We're going
to get double Dudleys in the same year.
Mm. Jamal Mosley.
Mm.
Those are some of the names that are that are on the list right now. Where would we put as of now?
Where's Sweeney from? Remind me on that one.
Sean Sweeney is the Spurs assistant, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Am I right there?
You know, another example, Mitch Johnson. Pop had a stroke. Pop had to leave. Mitch has been there a couple years. He coached their G League team.
Associate head coach of the Spurs.
Dude, they are at,
which I also like,
their most pivotal point as an organization in this era. And they handed it to an assistant with zero NBA head coaching experience who's like 34 years old.
You know why they're good?
Who coached at the University of Portland when they were dog crap in 2016.
You mentioning him earlier in the show blew my mind. I'm like, wait,
that was his first coaching gig.
He was
an assistant.
With Revito?
He coached youth basketball and got his first gig with UAP as Revito.
We got strong connections to coaching. We got the former head coach. Well, has Adam been fired yet?
No.
He's still there technically?
Still the head coach.
Former Lincoln High School legend.
Yeah.
One of the guys we're looking at is
The Houston guy.
Laco
kid.
Is a Laco kid. We talked about him on the show yesterday.
He's like 2 years younger than me.
Former pilot.
Former pilot.
What is it with UP and coaches?
They know how to coach. They don't know how to play. Spo.
Is the prime example.
Know how to coach.
Prime example.
What did he average?
Yeah.
You know?
One of my favorite
interviews. What were his numbers at UP?
We've ever done on the show was Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Regular season, they were coming here. We had a couple days in between, so yeah. I reached out, and they said, sure.
He was great, honest, open-ended. Like, just, yeah, that's one of the cooler ones we've ever
done. I'd like to get him on next year if we can get the schedule to line up.
That'd be great, dude, if they got a day off or two before the game
that's
or something.
That's important. Yeah. If they got a day off, I think he can squeeze it in. If he doesn't, it's almost an impossibility.
Yeah, but not playing in Sacramento the night before, then Portland the next night.
Well, are we going to celebrate, like, is the media collectively going to celebrate Hetzel? And then how am I to feel about Dundon if they hire the guy you're celebrating?
Yeah, that's a weird conundrum to be in.
I don't know what to feel on that.
Right, because he's a horrible owner and he's cheap, but then what if he ends up making the right decision to coach, which also doesn't matter that much for every example that you just laid out in the NBA. Like, I saw this idea floated yesterday with the Spurs guy, Sean Sweeney, that we mentioned being one of the candidates for the job. It's like, well, yeah, who wouldn't want to go get somebody from San Antonio to be their head coach? And it's like, is he bringing Victor Wembanyama with him?
Well, I think this
is he bringing Castle with him? Can we get Harper in the deal? Because if we can, then I'm all for Sean Sweeney.
You can like a guy internally. Like, Oklahoma City clearly liked Daigneault.
Yes.
Because they knew
he was their
G
League coach. And
I think they won the title in the G League or whatever. But, like, also, let's not overlook the element we've talked about the most of Dundon is what? Cheap.
Cheap, cheap, cheap.
You think the Spurs, at the most pivotal spot of growth and development for Victor Wembanyama, Stephon Castle, and now Dylan Harper, you think they just like...
Rookie interim coach, go ahead.
Yeah. Take your first swing with our guys' first swing.
Right. Let's see how this goes.
We would bag our owner if they decided to
move.
Do that.
Yeah.
We'd be like, why don't you go get Mike Malone? What, Tibbs?
Spent $20 million.
Do you think the Spurs are paying Mitch Johnson $20 million a year?
I highly doubt
it. I just like, what do I think about these guys? I mean, the same as anybody that's covering the league. Oh, seems pretty well respected, coming from a good place. Is the roster going to be good?
Heat culture, baby. Heat culture.
Bring Heat culture here. I'd love to have Spo.
Blazer culture. Let's do it. Make it a thing. Rip City culture.
Injected into my veins,
Let's
man.
Get to Statter Story. We'll do it next. 105.1 FM The Fam.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls.
So?
So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, folks, it is Stat or Story time. Welcome back in. Happy Wednesday morning to you. Does anybody want to start today? Anybody
I'll start.
Take the wheel. Jesus, go ahead.
I'll start. Your number is 252.
252.
Gentlemen, the number 252, is it the weight of one Camboozer at the NBA Combine?
Ooh.
Got our measurements yesterday. We did some burps.
He was sneaky athletic, too. Like, somebody, they were putting the side-by-sides of him and what's the North Carolina guy's name again?
Caleb Wilson.
Caleb Wilson, and everybody thinks Wilson is more athletic than him, and a lot of their times were identical.
Also on the record, you want to hang a banner, draft me, but if you don't, draft somebody else.
I love the confidence.
Is it the body weight of Camboozer?
Okay, 252 is what the number one,
252.
Sorry? 252. 252, okay.
Or is it the average amount that millennials are spending on date nights?
I don't think Cam is quite that big.
That's what she said.
Speaking of date night, I think he's more 235-ish. I am going to go...
252 is a lot. That's a lot for millennials.
Millennials don't have a damn clue.
Wait.
What age group is millennials again?
Us.
Remind me. It's us, our age group?
If you're born, I believe it's 81 to about 93?
Okay.
I think I'm close in that wheelhouse.
Story. I was thinking younger. I don't know why. Maybe I just
story.
Don't want to... Yeah, I'm going to go story.
I don't think Cam's quite that big.
Yeah.
Okay, he's 6'8". He's measuring 6'8".
6'8".
And a quarter. Okay. And Swag, you said you don't think, he's that big?
I think he's 235.
Okay.
I got it wrong.
You're both going story?
Yeah.
Okay. 252.8.
Ooh.
He's bigger than 252.
Wow. How about that? That's
he's
a big boy right there.
252.8
I did
pounds.
Not have him that power
he's
packed.
He's a thick boy with two C's.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, according to recent studies, they are finding that millennials specifically, on average, are spending $252. Now, before I follow up with something, you just off the cuff, millennials don't know what they're doing?
No, they don't.
You have debatably the worst generation, but we don't need to get into that. Not
What's
counting
wrong with my generation.
Well, you guys have a real air about yourselves.
Damn straight. Well earned.
What have you done? The follow-up, though, on this date thing specifically is, I had a bit of, where do people go on dates and what are they doing on dates that I'm not
How
doing?
How does it combine to 250? Like, you could say you spent, you know, like 250. When was the last time you spent $250 at a restaurant?
No, but
with
I think.
Two people, like not a group of people.
I wonder
with if. You and the wife. And like, just the two of you.
Are we taking Ubers?
The restaurant doesn't exist anymore.
Are we taking Ubers? Parking?
I've never Ubered on a date with my wife. I'm not Ubering from Happy Valley.
I did one time.
From where we lived? Or yes. Where you live now?
No, we were still in Milwaukee at the time. We hadn't moved out of Milwaukee yet.
Yeah, Milwaukee is a little more Uber-friendly there.
It was easier. Yeah. Yeah, you're deep. Yeah, you don't do it there.
I'm assuming if it's a date, most dates you're involving either cocktails or a bottle of wine. If you get a bar tab going and a nice restaurant, and you're going to...
But this is the average, you said?
A movie,
average.
A show,
so that
or
means
something.
There's a lot that go above that.
So I have a follow-up to this.
Like, maybe a once-in-a-blue-moon special occasion date, but on, like, a regular date.
I'm very curious about the survey and what goes into it.
You could certainly, if you like observed my life from a Kardashian standpoint,
Yeah. You
would easily note, probably, you guys don't really do date nights.
Yeah,
and I would
what
say,
are we
you're
constituting
right there,
date nights?
But I would follow up and say... What do people do on date nights? Because we don't come close to 252.
No.
But if it's a date night, like if we had, my wife and I had tickets to go see the touring musicals that come through, like the big ones. Those tickets aren't cheap.
Yeah.
And you go to dinner beforehand,
that's
and you're paying for
right
parking.
But again, here's what my point is, though. That's if this is an average, like,
but you got
how many of those exist, right? Like,
well,
how many times are you doing a high-end date?
A lot of music shows, though.
That's why the, you know, you're going to a concert, you're going to a Blazer game, you're doing, so you have something, and then there's...
Hoo-hoo-ha-has could be in town today at the Crystal Ballroom. And
I'm a big hoo-hoo-ha-ha guy.
Yeah. I promise you, there's some weird indie band I've never heard. They're called the Hoo-hoo-ha-has, okay? But, like, that right there could just cost $80.
Do they do a monkey dance the whole time?
No.
I'm curious what constitutes a, quote, date night versus you and your wife just... doing something away from the house.
I think that's the tough thing that I'm getting at is our date nights are probably pretty awful compared to most people out there. We go get dinner.
Yep.
We might stop at a store and then we go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our date
really
nights
going
are
to concerts.
Once in a blue moon, you walk somewhere, you grab dinner.
Yeah.
After dinner, you hope there's, I mean, we have ice cream and soft serve places in the neighborhood. So you, if it's
so
a nice night, you go grab an ice cream and walk around a little bit and you're home in 2 hours.
That would be what constitutes date night?
About like $80 max.
Is it an event? Like you're going to something, then you have a meal before, and you're
so
either...
this is your average date. So I'm asking you, gents, well, on your average date, what do you think you're spending?
Oh.
150.
Nowhere near that for me. 80.
150?
Average 80.
Yeah.
If it, we'll do like if an anniversary dinner occasionally.
If it involves a full meal out, like we're not grabbing something at a food cart. If
average
it's
average date, not your anniversary.
No,
average.
I'm not talking about
if
that.
If I go to a steakhouse.
No. If
average.
We go out to a meal, a restaurant, sit down restaurant,
it's
go in. Yeah.
Your whole date is 150.
Average.
No, I'm not anywhere close
to that. It is not hard to get to a $150 tab.
It helps my wife doesn't drink, so maybe that's part of it. She didn't ever have a cocktail. I do the drinking for the family.
The drinking part, because
the bar tab.
Yeah, the bar tab will get there.
The bar tab, but you dropped your tail. A bottle of wine.
Yeah.
No.
See, I'm not getting a bottle of wine because the wife doesn't drink wine. She didn't drink. So, you know, if I'm going out to dinner, I'll get a cocktail and a glass of wine at dinner.
Sure.
Or an IPA or whatever I'm in the mood for. Have one or two of them, especially if we're walking. And then that's it. That's where the bar tab ends.
252 is
80s. Like, yeah, that's... Also, there's like advice in there that I want to give people of like, right. Don't do it.
I also feel like I'm a terrible husband now when I'm talking about
no,
this.
No, don't go there. Don't. Yeah, you're, that's no. You're right. We're right. They're wrong.
Okay.
All right. What else we got?
Your number, $23.99.
$23.99.
$23.99. Is it the total feet of putts made by Scottie Scheffler so far this PGA Tour season?
Would you have any idea?
That's, yeah. All right.
Or is it the amount of calories in the newest item added to the Costco food court menu? Which is a...
What is it?
It is a five-piece chicken strip basket.
I would eat the hell out of that. That sounds so... I'm starving.
Did you
right
see
now.
They announced the change to their hot dog menu and people freaked out when you clicked it? It's like, you can get a bottle of water now. Yeah. Price is still the same.
It's still the same.
Apparently, Costco took the calzones off, but we've added...
So this is just chicken
okay
strips?
That. Chicken strips and fries?
And fries?
Let me I'll get go stat. I don't know
I'm
why.
Going stat.
I'm
going
to go stat.
That seems like way too many
That's
calories.
That's a lot of calorie. For a five, even if it's a five-piece, yeah. How big is that basket it? Of fries? That's a lot of calories.
Chicken bake overrated, by the way.
Five breaded chicken breast strips reportedly baked, not fried. Comes with honey mustard dipping sauce.
The dipping sauce is underrated in that equation,
I
but
do
I'm
love
still
honey
going
mustard.
Stat.
Yeah, give me stat. Double stat.
Oh, I'm on the wrong damn page. Sorry.
Hurry.
There you go. Yes, Scottie Scheffler has made 2,399 feet of putts. He averages 80 feet of putts made per round. That puts him eighth on the tour. Number one, Mathieu Pavon of France, averaging 86 feet 4 inches of putts made per round.
That's pretty good.
That will be a stat. Like these greens, like if somebody, because of the undulations and the different tucked pins, look at who has the most feet of putts made in any round, and my guess is they might be near the top of the leaderboard.
I just had a memory of Michael Block pretending as if he didn't know his hole-in-one went in and everybody else knew. It went in? No, it didn't.
No.
Are you kidding me, Rory? No, it didn't.
So the calzones
How is the entire crowd? How does Rory know? He's on the tee box. Standing next to you.
You hate Michael Block. It's so funny.
There's no way. There's no way that would
Costco's Rory. Taking the calzones off the menu.
Who cares? Okay.
So five breaded chicken breast strips for $6.99. 1,640 calories with the dipping sauce, but they are the CostcoInsider.com reports. These are like full breaded chicken breast strips, like not the little tiny tenderloin. Like they're substantial, and it actually has weight to it when you get the little serving.
Got to protein up, brother.
I can eat a lot of tendies, man. I love tendies. I'll
so
go rapid fire.
So they're testing
here.
Them in Chicago first, and the nationwide launch expected to come this summer.
All right, rapid fire, last one. Your number is 69. 69.
Nice.
Date night.
Is it? Yes. The age of a woman who was killed in a fatal accident by an alligator in Hilton Head, South Carolina, who just received a multi-million, or her family, I should say, a multi-million dollar settlement from the community for allowing an alligator to kill her while she was walking her dog. Or is it the number of strikeouts for one Cal Raleigh through 40 games and 157 official at-bats this year?
Story.
Swag?
I'm going to go stat.
You're going to go stat?
Cal has not been good this year.
Okay, we'll go in order here.
Does he have more?
It is less. 55 strikeouts through 157. That puts him ninth most in Major League Baseball.
Hitting .166 after two hits yesterday.
Yeah, imagine you're just, you know, taking your little dog for a walk around the little Hilton Head community that you live in, and all of a sudden, boom goes the dynamite. You're out. They realized it because her dog was in the backyard with the leash still on, and they're like, where's your owner at? And they found her face down in the water in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
What an awful way to die.
69 years old she was. It was a 9.5-foot male alligator that was observed guarding her body, which prevented the emergency personnel from reaching her. And they reached it is undisclosed, but estimated to be in the tens of millions of dollars of a settlement, because I think she lives in like a, I don't know if it's a retirement home, but it's like a community where they're supposed to have this stuff under control, and she's living by herself and got eaten by a 10-foot alligator.
The worst one is still to this day the child at Disney World.
Without a doubt.
Like, I'm owning.
That's why you don't go to Disney.
I'm fighting you. We're owning Disney World now for that happening.
I'm going to bring that up when the wife says, let's go to Disneyland. They eat out. They eat the kids there.
Okay? Like Disney World.
Disney World.
Disneyland doesn't have this problem.
Adjacent. Okay.
Go to Disneyland.
Same family.
Disney World, overrated.
Delete your kids.
Go to Disneyland. Way less to walk. It's a 2-hour flight. And get out of there. Go do other things.
Get out of here. All right. Get out of here with this nonsense. Yeah. Let's close it up. Get yourself for your night in sports. Wrap up the show on a Wednesday next. 105.1 FM The Fam.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. We had a lot of texts coming in on the date night stuff. I'll get to those. We also have to give the... let me do this first, though, before we do that. It is time for your neighborhood restaurant group bringing you the poll question, the fan poll question of the day on X Every Day and dinner tonight. What are the five locations? Sandy O's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lowerhurst Market Steakhouse. And I put this up. I'm sure it offended a lot of people because we're easily offended.
Well, it's a jokey poll question.
It's a jokey poll question.
That we didn't write show. Jokey poll question.
I apologize. I said your
neighbor- I don't apologize for anything. It's a poll question on Twitter.
Yeah, get your panties out of a bunch. Would you trade the Blazers for an NHL team and a Major League Baseball team in Portland? Should we read the responses?
Go ahead. I got the ding. I'm ready to go. Go ahead. Tell me.
I'm shaking my head, man. What kind of question is this? Yeah, there it is. Yeah, there's a handful of those in there. Right now, 61.9% of you say no, you would not do it.
Look,
I said it was an easy yes for me. One, because of how difficult it is to win in the NBA, how largely I've lived here my entire life, and the Blazers have been largely irrelevant my entire life.
Sure.
And I just give me two is greater than one that are not going on at the same time, and to be able to have pro sports games to go to at the Moda Center from October and then on my riverfront ballpark all the way through October would be phenomenal.
The baseball is enticing. Having two versus one is great. I cannot imagine a world in my life where I ever care about hockey.
If we had a team, I think that would change.
No,
but I see your point.
It wouldn't. It's too expensive.
Mm. Is going to Blazer games cheap?
It's cheaper than hockey games.
Is it?
Yeah, hockey games are some of the
same
more expensive.
Same arena with 1,500 to 2,000 less seats.
I mean, I get it. I'm not saying it's cheap. I just think wherever you go, like, you think a baseball team would be cheap?
Yeah, on a game-to-game basis?
You think it would be?
There's six. There's like,
well, we would build a 30,000-seat stadium.
I know, but
I know
you can go
games.
Sit in the outfield
you
for
sit
$10.
In the outfield
you could sit in the 300
for
level for $10
bucks.
At a hockey game.
No, I don't think that's right.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you've been to a hockey game in a while.
Have you? All right.
Not at a Kraken game.
And the Kraken aren't even very good.
Top of the arena seat. What does it cost for a Kraken game? How often do you peruse those tickets?
Have
you
ever bought
every year?
You go. You don't buy tickets, or you have friends with season tickets.
I pay for the ticket.
Sure, and you sit down close, and it's
I sit down,
seat.
And it's $150.
So how often do you look at the 300 level seat
at a Kraken
game? I do
just to get in, or if there was something up there, it's usually $60 to $75.
You have hockey games as cheap as baseball games?
No, I'm not saying it's that cheap. I'm just pointing out I find it funny that we use it against hockey when every sporting event is incredibly expensive.
I'm not using it against hockey. I don't care about hockey, so I wouldn't probably go to any games unless I got a ticket, but... Also, I know it's expensive to go to a hockey game.
I also think the market is dependent on that and where you're going. I don't think everywhere you go in NHL circles, it's incredibly expensive to get in at the 300 level.
I think on average, NHL hockey crowds are more into the hockey and being there for the games, especially with the more expensive seats. I think a
being
lot
close
of
to the glass
being close to the glass will cost you an arm
awesome.
And a leg.
No,
I don't
no.
disagree with that.
There
at
are
all.
A lot of NBA people that sit on the courtside seats to be seen and be part of a vibe more so than NHL.
So, like, take this example, okay? So I don't even know who the cheapest hockey ticket would be. I can't begin to tell you, but like we looked it up and we were finding Nets tickets for $4.
Yeah.
I don't think you're finding a hockey game for the worst team for $4.
I think you can. I think there's bad market. Like, the idea that every place you go, you cannot afford a ticket is just not true.
Well, you can
afford
some markets,
season,
sure. But,
I'd be curious what Canucks tickets were after they traded, like, most of their
when
good players at the trade deadline, like, down the stretch.
Like, I don't think going to a Nashville Predators game in a month ago is going to cost you $100 to sit in the nosebleeds.
Probably not $100.
Like, yes,
no,
if you want to use the...
I don't think you're getting $10 seats, though.
That's
I think
where
you
I
can find 25,
now, 30,
25
20,
to 30
that's not
bucks.
A big difference, but it's the difference in what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I find it, I don't know, I I don't disagree with the premise of the point. I just like reperusing every market of NHL tickets of what the costs are.
I just have always known hockey tickets tend to be outside of the NFL the most expensive.
I think there's a lot of people who are like you that wouldn't care about it, and then you'd go to a couple of games and you'd get invested in it slowly.
But we couldn't. How would we talk about it? It wouldn't be a topic for radio.
Well, that's a different thing, right? Like, whether you would like to watch it or not, or whether you're talking about it on a radio, to me, are different things.
Sure.
There's a lot of things that I watch that I love that we don't... I watch golf every weekend. We didn't talk about who won the event last weekend, right? So there's things that you like as a sports fan.
Am I getting a French Open segment here
no,
coming up?
No, but he loves... So those are two different things to a certain extent. I also think, like, having the hockey team here while the Blazers are playing would be a detriment to it because you would have two things competing for it. But if that was removed from your life...
I kind of like it because it'd put more pressure on them.
Yes, I agree with you there.
If you can add it with the Blazers staying... So
that I agree with.
If it's the two versus one, I don't care about one of those sports.
So for you, it's just one versus one.
It's 1v1. And yeah. I'll give you this. I certainly... It's hard to beat sitting out at a nice day eating a glizzy... watching a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 81 opportunities
to go. But it's
also
the summertime. That's our real downtime in our job. You know, I might be vacationing. Like, how often
people are out of town?
Well, but think about it. You know, we would gear up for football season, but then...
I'm hunkered down in the winter. I got basketball to watch.
Yeah.
It's just a little different. So I think I'd still stay the Blazers.
Yeah, I voted yes. You can go vote on that. Neighborhood Restaurant Group poll question of the day. 63% of you saying no. You don't need to be offended by it. You just vote. You don't want to trade the Blazers for two teams. You don't have to because it's not going to happen, people.
We're not trading the Blazers. They're just going to move to Kalamazoo.
They're going to be the Kalamazoo Kazoos. That's how it's going
to
happen. A couple thoughts.
Have a kazoo hat. Red and black.
A couple of points on the date night thing.
Do they have a minor league? They got to have a minor league baseball
team.
I would imagine so. Somebody said date night thoughts. Dirt is spot on. Swag is bougie and Sprague is a cheapsteak as usual.
Hold on. Wait. Time out.
We're just going to move past that one.
How am I the cheap one here? You gave a number, and my number's a little higher than yours.
What was your number?
I'm probably averaging about 100 to 120 if we go on a date.
Cheapy. Date nights have gotten people without kids. I don't come close to 100 on date night, let alone 252. We got a lot of those from, like, parents if you're counting the babysitter costs if you have to pay for it, being a part of your date night, which I thought was a good point in the overall cost of it. Another one, swag, our generation wouldn't miss Game 7 of our favorite team in the World Series. Never going to live that
I think
one
most
up.
Of his generation wouldn't either.
You do have a game in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. Is it over in Colorado, Blue Line Brandon?
Yes.
It's all over.
Okay. It's
over. Kalamazoo Growlers, by the way.
There you go.
Baseball team.
That's their name, the Growlers?
Wood Bat Team.
Oh, okay. And are we excited for Cavs Pistons? Game 5, Detroit basketball.
Are we excited? No. Will we watch some of it? Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Double box it.
Keep an eye on that.
Got one going on. I do like that the games are earlier. Shout out to this time of year when the games now start at 5. It's like, thank God, dude. Get it over with at 7:30. That'll do it for us. If you missed the show, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at 1051thefan on Twitter, at Durden Sprague on Twitter. That will do it for us. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm. Harrison Meringue is next. Listen to 1051 FM The Fan.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.